A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Today I have set before you life and prosperity, death and doom. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin on you today, loving him and walking in his ways, and keeping his commandments, statutes, and decrees, you will live and grow numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to occupy. If, however, you turn away your hearts and will not listen, but are led astray and adore and serve other gods, I tell you now that you will certainly perish. You will not have a long life on the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and occupy. I call heaven and earth today to witness against you. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life then, that you and your descendants may live by loving the Lord your God, heeding his voice and holding fast to him. For that will mean life for you, a long life for you to live on the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Verbum Domini. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord, and meditates on his law day and night. Blessed is he like a tree planted near running water, that yields its fruit in due season, and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam. Jesus said to his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit himself?" Verbum Domini. first reading today is quite a dramatic moment, Deuteronomy 30. This is Moses' last address to the people. They're about to cross into the promised land, this land given to them. Joshua will lead them there. Moses will not enter into the promised land. And he gives them this great exhortation to choose life. You know, as you enter this new territory, this new moment, choose life. I've set before you life and prosperity, death and doom. Obey the commandments. You know, loving God, walking in his way, keeping his commandments, and you will live and grow numerous. That God will bless you in the land you are entering to occupy. Turn away your hearts. If you turn away your hearts and do not listen and adore and serve other gods, you will certainly perish. That if we see a human flourishing and living the commandments, worshiping God, growing close to him, we see a human flourishing, a new joy, a new peace. We experience that all the time in our lives. I make that choice of sin, alienation, loss of joy, isolation, depravity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? And this choice is before man with every new territory, with every new land, with every new technology, ability that he has, every opportunity. Is he going to choose life, serve life, or choose death? And life is the way of the Lord, you know, following him. I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life, heeding his voice, holding fast to him. We know this new fullness. We just had the Academy Awards in this country. They give honors to actors and people in the film industry. And I can't help but think, you know, with this powerful medium, this powerful technology, do we choose life or choose death? Do we use it to serve the dignity of man, to show the full reality of man, that yes, there's ugly things in it, or difficulties and struggles, but also the triumph of man when he grows close to the Lord? Are we honest in our media, you know, in showing that? And that's the question, I think, with every technology. How are we going to use it? Jesus gives the fullness of the path to life, not just commandments, but union with him in his paschal mystery. He gives us command, or he gives us prophecy, that first the Son of Man must suffer greatly, be rejected, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. The paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection. And then he goes farther and says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Boy, that must have really shook the believers of that time, and his disciples. The cross was an instrument of Roman execution, of torture. And Jesus was going to suffer that and then ask us to share in that cross as well. Just suffering itself, of itself, is evil, and there's something mysterious and baffling about it when we encounter it. It's jarring, even in the Gospels. Jesus, you know, before at Lazarus' tomb, his friend has died, and the scriptures describe it as this deep kind of shaking, shuddering within Christ. I think also in the Garden of Gethsemane, he experiences this. We experience it. We encounter, especially maybe suffering in a young person, can be especially eloquent testimony to the gospel of suffering. We see what the Lord does in that person, you know, if they can accept it and turn to the Lord. But there's something baffling, like, how can God let this happen? And I think we need to hold on to that, because in our heart of hearts, we know God loves us and that somehow he's going to use this for our good. And that he does for our salvation and our personal, you know, sanctification and sharing in the redemption of all. That suffering in of itself is evil. It It enters into the world through original sin, through man's sin, but God redeems that suffering. That's the good news. That's the great reversal. That Jesus lays down his life in love, in obedience to the Father, and in love for us, he liberates us from evil, from all forms of evil. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he who believes in him may have eternal life. So Jesus tells us today, if we wish to come after him, to be his disciple, we must deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. That's not the world's message. Generally speaking, that's not Hollywood's message. Everything in a fallen world, our fallen human nature, points us to ourselves, makes us self-centered. It's just feeding us that. It's throwing red meat to us, that wolf in us that seeks our own selfish goals, right? The lust of the flesh, of the world, the pride of life. I always feel like that's all Satan's got to do with us, is to get us to think of ourselves more, to be focused on ourselves, and he can lead us wherever he wants. So Jesus tells us the opposite. We deny ourselves, we open ourselves up to the Lord and his working in us. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. I've told this story a million times, but I remember being a teenager sitting in church and hearing some version of this passage and not getting my head around it. I was always massaging, twisting, preaching gospel messages to serve me. And this one, to lose our life? You can't twist that any way that's self-serving. And to take up our cross, this instrument of execution, Jesus flips that, makes the wood of the cross the tree of life, makes it a path of life eternal for us, that he has redeemed human suffering. He has raised our human suffering to the level of redemption, that everyone, John Paul II would write, that everyone has their own share of suffering, and that through faith we discover, through faith and acceptance of it, we discover a new meaning to that suffering and even a new meaning to our life. I recently read this beautiful quote from Father Hugh Gillespie in his preparation for the St. Louis de Montfort consecration. And he speaks of this call and this dignity that man has. He says, whether one is willing to admit it, to admit so or not, does not change the fundamental reality that each of us belongs to Almighty God, and that it is to God that we are accountable for the life we have been given. Baptized into the dying and rising of Jesus, given a share in his life, the Christian belongs more fully and intimately to the Almighty than any other. This, too, is the reality of our lives. For there's a fundamental greatness about us that Father de Montfort, Louis de Montfort, would have us recognize. A greatness that has nothing to do with our talents or merits or accomplishments, but that is a divine gift. That we all have this spiritual greatness, because we're baptized to the Lord, we belong to him, we're sharing in his paschal mystery, we have this greatness that has nothing to do with our talents or merits or accomplishments, but that is a divine gift. This greatness, because we can share in redemption itself. And I think that's what we see, especially in the suffering of young people that maybe are cut down short in their lives and have some terrible, there's something just of the very essence of this greatness, that they have maybe no achievements or anything, but they're just conformed to the Lord and the cross, and it gives us all pause to know that something great is happening in this person's life, not by worldly standards, not by any human achievement. So through faith, we discover this new meaning to suffering. So the Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ becomes salvific. It's a lifting up of himself on the cross and the resurrection, and also a lifting up of human suffering, that it's the heart of the kingdom, where he draws all men to himself. That gathering is the kingdom. And this weakness, he manifests his power. John Paul II would write that this is mirrored in our suffering and becomes an expression of man's spiritual greatness, this work of redemption, personally our own transformation, but also sharing in the redemption of others. In suffering, we are opened up to the working of salvation in our lives. Even yesterday, you know, we're doing a little bit of fasting, and I felt doing that, I wasn't as quick to give my opinion, to shoot my mouth off, to be as judgmental. A little bit of self-denial opens us up to God working in our life, a little dying to ourselves. And in that cross, he draws close to us. You know, St. Paul would say that, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of the body, that is the church." That, you know, he draws close to us in our redemption, but also making up for what is lacking, meaning that this needs to be extended throughout man's history, throughout the body of Christ, throughout humanity. Jesus died for us 2,000 years ago, and that mystery through us is extended through the church. And he's drawing close to us in all of it. It creates a new spiritual maturity in us. We become, John Paul would say, that we become a new person, achieving a spiritual greatness, because Christ is drawn close to us, conquering evil in us and in the world. EWTN aired that beautiful documentary produced by Focus on Michel Dupong. My favorite line, it's an absolutely beautiful, stunning documentary. She was a Focus missionary and got cancer and lived about a year with it. She's only 31 years old and died in 2015. But the great line to me was her sister who cared for her, Renee, saying at one point she thought to herself towards the end, "Who are you? I don't know you. You know, are you still my sister?" I mean, the transformation in there was so great. A new person. That's God's greatest work in us. I'll just close with this. John Paul wrote beautifully about Our Lady, that she stands in faith at the foot of the cross of Christ, and she is given to us as a mother from the cross. And he says, "As though by a continuation of that motherhood, which by the power of the Holy Spirit had given him life, the dying cries conferred upon the ever-Virgin Mary a new kind of motherhood, spiritual and universal, towards all human beings, so that every individual during the pilgrimage of faith might remain together with her, closely united to him unto the cross." He would say that the divine Redeemer wishes to penetrate the soul of every sufferer through the heart of his Holy Mother. She's our mother in the order of grace. She comforts us, helps us in these difficult moments of our suffering, standing at the foot of our cross, helping us. That motherhood is transformed through this outpouring of charity of Christ on the cross for us. What a gift to strengthen us, to pray that rosary, to make that consecration to her, to receive all those graces that she gives us as our spiritual mother.